I read this week that Harvey Weinstein got rushed to the hospital from prison after a heart episode, maybe a heart attack or something like that. And as soon as I read it, I was like, rushed? Do they not know? Oh, you can take your time with Harvey. You don't got to run any red lights for Harvey. You don't need to put the siren on. Just making turns like you. That's got to be tough. You driving Harvey Weinstein's ambulance. You hitting yellow lights making decisions. Turns a little bit yellow, we wouldn't have made it. I'm sure even the guard at the prison, Harvey over here, the guard's like, oh no. Don't. That's a tough one too, because I was thinking about it, because I was thinking about it from as many angles as possible, because it's not just he's the person and it's part of the headline, but there are lots of people around him in this situation. You got to think about the people at the hospital. You know, you go to the ER, got a real bad headache, and then they run in with Harvey Weinstein. Having a heart attack, and you're like, but y'all still gonna get me first, right? Like this hurts really bad. Can we? Or maybe you're not a patient, maybe you're a surgeon. Imagine, because we don't know what happened exactly, just know that he has some sort of thing happen. What if that dude had to have like open heart surgery, you know? And I don't think he did. I think we would have heard about it, but let's say he had to have open heart surgery. Let's say you're a surgeon. You work at the hospital. You went to school, you studied hard, you learned everything that there was to learn about healing someone, especially someone in dire straits, when it's really, really down to the wire, right? And you go to school, med school, maybe do some sort of residency. I don't know how it works, but you get hired by a hospital and you come into work on a random Tuesday. Checking in to work and everything, about to sit at your desk, and somebody runs in, hey, you gotta come quick. And then they pull you into an OR and it's Harvey Weinstein on the table. And you're like, uh-oh. Like, hurry, you gotta save him. And you're like, gotta. Like, do I really? It's like, yeah, you took a Hippocratic oath. To, like, I was like, ah, yeah, but when they made us. When they made us take the oath, they didn't mention anything like this. Like, I was saying it in theory. Somebody might have had to do open heart surgery on Harvey Weinstein. Someone might have had to put their hands in Harvey Weinstein. The whole time they're just like, ew, 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 ew. No, it's insane. It's like I couldn't get it off my mind too, because it's like everybody involved, you know? They have to do their job, and their job is to heal, but you gotta heal a bad person. This dude is the devil. And you know how we know he's like truly, truly evil. Not all the testimony, not all of the stories about things that he's done for decades over his career. We know that everybody knows because they made him. During the trial was when I was like, man, this guy, oof, this is worse than we could ever imagine. Because during the trial, they got him to do the thing that they get dudes to do when they're definitely guilty. When people are guilty and the jury knows it, the judge knows it, and their own lawyers know it, they all do the same thing. You can look at any case in America. They always, always tell this dude, hey, listen, you're going to need to act as feeble as possible. Okay? From now on, you use a walker. Do you understand me? We had never seen Harvey with a walker before. You know that man didn't need a walker, but as soon as he was in hot water, he over here. Can't close his mouth. Get out of here. No. They did the same thing with Cosby. You knew Cosby was guilty because they told that man to act extra blind. Cosby had been losing his sight incrementally over decades, but when it came to the trial, they put glasses on that man and he started acting. You know, he was not that blind. It's one thing to not be able to see. This man was over here putting it on, just Ray Charles in it. So you can't feel the sounds. Don't do that. No, because Harvey showed up in that walker, and I was like, yeah. He did everything. Over here. No. Get out of here, man. That's so insane. But I genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, I really do hope that he's not okay. I think they're like... I can't judge anybody for not being great at their job because I've been bad at work before. I've had jobs where I look back and I'm like, they should have fired me. You know what I mean? Like I have a good attitude at work, so people, you know, they're like always pleasant, so they let me keep coming in. But there were times, okay. I worked for a very, very short period of time at this like storage unit place. They only gave me a couple hours because I was terrible, right? But I would be late, and I would be so late that you know that level of late where you know you need an excuse? And it has to be good. It has to be great. Like you're so late that now. First 10 minutes of late, you can blame traffic, right? Next 10 minutes of late, now you gotta blame kids, a sick pet. You gotta, you know what I mean? Something. After 30, someone has to be dead. After 30, you have to be brave for showing up. You know what I mean? You have to win them over again and be like, hey, look, you know, my whole family. But I care so much about this job that I was like, let me go ahead and do those 7.5 hours because I wanted to make sure I helped out the company. You know what I mean? And the problem with death is that you can really only use it once a year. Because if everybody die every time you late, you look like bad luck. You know what I mean? Like you look like you really going through it, right? Because after 30, that's when you have to decide, did somebody die or am I too sick to come in? Because your boss, your manager is already going to be mad because this is a call you should have made 30 minutes before you were late, if not sooner than that. But now that you're this late, now you have to call and basically try to pretend to throw up on the phone, right? At 30 minutes late, you got to call and be like, Hey, I'm so sorry. I know I'm already late, and I love my job so much. I love my job. like you wouldn't believe. You know what I mean? Like, I had a dream last night I was on time. I had a dream that I was on time working, because you know how I love to work there, right? Like, you know, and I was doing my job. I was moving the boxes and everything, and it felt good to be there with y'all, my coworkers, and my boss, who I'm calling right now, who I know is too good of a person to hold this against me. You know I love it here. Now, there was one time I was so late. I was so late that I called my job and pretended to be my old brother. It was like, oh, Josh wanted me to call you, and I forgot. He actually told me to call you 2.5 hours ago, the exact amount of time that the manual says that he has to let you know that he can't come in by if he doesn't want to get written up. I meant to call at that time for him, but I forgot. That's my bad. His brother, not him, right? And I just basically called to tell you, he died. I used to struggle, but now I think I've accepted, like, how out of control I am of how I'm perceived as a person, right? Like, I don't really get to decide. You can try to, like, maintain an image, and you can try to, like, curate a way that people might see you, but you can't actually control it, right? And one like optic I've never been able to fully control is, like, giving off, like, hardcore man. You know what I mean? Like, just like, oh, that's a man right there, right? Because a lot of, like, masculinity, a lot of just general male identity is all the way down to optics, you know? It used to be a bunch of things that made you a man, you know? And some of those things were literally just judged by things that women couldn't do. So if you go back to, like, the 60s, and, like, women couldn't have a credit card or something, and you had a credit card, you're like, I'm a man, charge it. But as women made more strides and the need for a man became less in, like, women's lives, the whole of what it meant to seem like or be a man started to narrow. And it's narrowed down now to the point of, like, aesthetics, like, just general optics, right? And I know I don't give those off. And not in a self-deprecating way, just in, like, a true, if I'm being myself, they don't come across. Like, I was on a date, and I could tell I didn't come off as, like, that man for her, because... I blew on my hot food too many times. From the time you're a child, your parents tell you to blow on that food because it's hot. You don't want to burn your mouth, right? And so, and I also, I'm like, I decided a long time ago that I was as close to done as possible to doing, like, dumb stuff just to look like a man. I was either going to, like, be a man in that moment or I wasn't. I was just going to be honest with myself. I wasn't going to take a hot bite and then juggle it in the back of my throat. Take a pipe and hot bite of lasagna, then that's not me. I'm gonna be real with myself. And so I went ahead and I took my fork, and the first in everyone on planet Earth gets one blow. That's you even checking the temperature. Sometimes you bring food to your lip and it's so hot, it almost, it's not even touching your lip yet, but you're like, ooh, ooh, food. but I took too long. I also took too long between blows. Took my fork of food. I was like, doesn't hit right, you know what I mean? There's not just one thing. There's lots of things that I do. Like, I also... It doesn't seem very manly, but I use a lot of napkins. And I don't mean, like, I have a handkerchief that I keep in a suit that's, like, somebody crying. I can be like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like... I'm talking about how I have Wendy's napkins in my back pocket. I was on a date, same date as the last thing. This happened right after, where, you know, because I blow my food so hard sometimes, depending on the food, and if it's saucy, it'll splash, right? And so it's one thing if you have a little something here or, you know, here, but if you blow the food so hard that it splashes up a little bit and you got a little food on your nose or your cheek and you start to look like a toddler, that's also unacceptable. Hence, I keep the napkins on me because I blow my food. I'm not giving it up, right? But she was like, oh, you have a little something right here. And so then I grabbed a napkin and I was like, that wasn't the manliest way to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I should have grabbed the napkin and smeared it. You know what I mean? Just like, did I get it? I don't care. You know what I mean? That would have been more manly. Because it is just, you know, it's a part of self-acceptance. Just know there are certain things that you do. I'm not saying you can't change them, but like, I'm not gonna be myself and then wonder why people don't think I'm someone else. Do you know what I mean? So if you get a good sense of yourself, you understand why you come off the way that you come off, right? Like, I think there's two times where you cannot help, no matter what you try to project, you cannot help but be yourself. The two times are when you laugh and when you are scared, right? Because when you laugh, sometimes you don't even want to laugh. You know? Like you, sir. No, I'm just... Sometimes when you laugh, you don't even want to laugh, but it just escapes you because it's so funny. Like when a kid falls. It's not always funny, but sometimes it's very funny. They fall so stupid. Like, it's just... like, why is his leg up there like that? Do they have bones? Like, what's happening? And so you laugh, and then sometimes the laugh escapes, and you can't even control the way that it comes out. It's funny, you know? Same way with fear. You know, sometimes you get scared. You don't mean to get scared. We would all like to not be scared, right? But sometimes you're fearful, and when the fear escapes you, your reaction, that is who you are. You know? I give you an example. I was at my buddy's house one time, and my buddy doesn't have a good house. No, I've told him this to his face before. I'm like, you're in a bad situation. You need to improve your life and yourself, all right? Because he is in a bachelor pad with three other dudes, and they keep it. Whatever you imagining, that's what it looked like, right? So I just... it's not good. There's whole rags on the floor nobody will claim. I'm like, y'all can't live like this. And so he was having an argument with his roommate, and they were really having it out, which was awkward because I was over there to watch a movie that was now paused. So this doesn't have anything to do with me, but I was just over here. We had already started. We're 30 minutes in. I don't want to go home and then try to find my spot. And everything. let's just watch the movie. But then they over there jawing at each other, and it's getting more and more intense, and it's awkward too, because my buddy's sitting here and the roommate is standing up. When I say we're sitting here, we sitting on the floor because he doesn't have furniture. It's not a good house. And so we're sitting on the floor, and so then I'm getting yelled over because he yelling at him, but then he's standing over us. And so I feel like I'm in trouble too. And I'm like, I just want to watch the movie. Then finally his friend lays down the hammer. Just, I don't remember what he said, but he said those like last words that you say in a fight, and he stormed off and he went to slam the door behind him, right? But because they don't have a good house, right? He went to slam the door and the door fell off. Even badly built homes have good hinges. There's no reason for the whole door to fall off. And so this is what happened. I knew he was going to slam the door because I was looking at him when he was walking away, because I was like, okay, I can unpause it, right? So when he slammed the door, that was a loud noise that I saw coming, right? Boom. That's fine. Doesn't scare me. But I had turned my head and I had hit play, and the door, the way the hinges decided to give out was incrementally, right? And so the door didn't just fall right off. It just sort of slowly started to fall hinge by hinge until it slammed down, right? But this is a loud noise that I wasn't expecting. So then the door fell and it made that whip sound. You know, like when you just drop a book on its face and... And I'm not proud of it. But when I get scared enough, I grab my chest with an open hand. And this is hard to come back from. This right here, people don't play games with this. This is bona fide bitch right here. If you do this and you don't want people to see it, you gotta go kill everybody who saw it. Because people will tell people that you did this. This is not the hand gesture of someone who's like, man, I'll kick your ass. That's never said doing this. This is the look of someone that goes to Trader Joe's and says, what do you mean you're out of peach jam? This is a never in my days gesture. This is a my word, my Lord gesture. This ain't what you do when the ops start shooting. This is, I'm over here grabbing a robe I'm not wearing, right? Not good.